wood on the ground, it would burn the soles of your feet. This one. So, we are here in cool paradise. So, yes, let us see. Are there any questions which I left? Tripathi Prabhu, you will have the first question. Let me just see. At the moment, no. This is the only question. Yes, Tripathi Prabhu.
Arjuna was asking so a few times that Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds a day.
Yes. We are just preparing the thing. Please wait a second.
But we know in the same time that he was going around and doing Harinam and preaching from the house to house.
Mm-hmm.
And how he could manage all this?
How he was managing all this? He was chanting 192 rounds, and at the same time we hear he was preaching house to house with Lord Nityananda. There is this. How was he managing time wise? Well, there were different phases in Haridas Thakur's life. It is reported that sometimes he would just stay by himself. For instance, when he stayed at the bank of the river Ganga or in the midst of the forest in a cottage, at that time he was not moving about and not preaching. Still, we hear during that time he also occasionally, not always, but occasionally received some guests who had questions to ask. And who, in India it often happens, you know, when there is an accomplished saint, people just go and take darshan. They know they don't want to disturb him and ask him any question. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that if you just stay next to a pure devotee and just sit next to him, there will be the Krishna Shakti which exudes from his body, like the light of a candle which comes from a candle. So many times devotees are just, or the people of India just sit next to a sadhu without asking a question. That is the time which we have heard about, where he was not really moving about. But then there was the time when he was preaching with Lord Nityananda. And I heard they went out the whole morning, you know, not just 1 hour or 2 hours, but several hours. So I must tell you that I only know of two possibilities. One is that he did not chant 192 rounds at that time. And the other is a possibility which I really prefer to think about. I do not know 100%, but I know that these great souls chant much faster. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says when you chant mentally the Hare Krishna mantra, you need 3 minutes. Three. If I would try to do it, I would lose it. I wouldn't be able to concentrate because I'm not practiced to chant that fast mentally. I also sometimes chant in my mind. There's also a technique how to combine breathing with chanting, where you chant one mantra in the mind. You go like this: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That means on one inhale you chant one round in the mind, and on two exhales, on an exhale you can chant two mantras. That is a technique which is done by those who chant and who come into troubled waters. Troubled waters means when your mind is absolutely unable to focus. And then you just combine breathing and chanting, and I heard it done by great devotees and also by one great Gaudiya Vaishnava, a god brother of Prabhupada. He explained it, and I sometimes do it when the mind is just too creative and I know I have to sit from 4 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the night, and then I chant for one round like this and the mind is like a laser, because the mind becomes pacified by breathing. But that takes a lot, that takes also time. So 3 minutes he chanted for one round when it was in the mind, that I know. Tripathi, your question is really very nice. There is a state, it's called bhava, the state of Krishna consciousness. It's like this, and then when you are on that level, you have one desire. You do not want to waste even a minute of the time. These great devotees, when they act in their spiritual life, or when they do in their spiritual life, you see every movement of the hand is like this, that it is rationalized, and they don't want to waste time in eating and sleeping and all. And mostly they start their bhajan at 2 o'clock in the night. I've met many like this. And then they go up to noontime. That's 12, 1 o'clock. And then they have not eaten breakfast or anything. It's just been like up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And then they go for madhukari. Because it is known that during the midday time, that's the most difficult time to concentrate. It's between 12 and 2 o'clock. It's known also in all spiritual traditions. You know, the monks know this, the Buddhists know it, and then they take the time to the useless time to eat and wash their clothes and do everything. Yeah, but it is a very inconceivable. The way we chant our rounds, 192 rounds, you know, that occupies you the whole day and the night. You have 2 hours to sleep and the day to sleep. But they chant much faster. And I have seen nowadays in Vrindavan, you find some very good devotees who are secluded. They don't walk around, or they don't have big posters advertising that they are the best. They don't do this. If you meet them, they chant a minimum of 64 rounds, and it takes them relatively short time. They're just so experienced. I mean, I want to give you an example of, I'm so fortunate that Charanga Thakur is in our house, and he can cook a full meal in, I think, 1.5 hours, isn't it? One hour. I would take 9 hours and then I would die afterwards, you know, because I'm not expert in this. He just goes, you can't even see, the movements are so fast, you can't even see what he does. It's a mystical for me, but for him it is no problem, you know, because he's practiced. So when you practice, you do chant more. Sometimes there are devotees who say to me, how long do I need to chant for one round? And I would like to give you a little task. One round normally takes 6 minutes, 6 to 7 minutes, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He gives a time, and then for four rounds he gives so much time, and then you can, four rounds, half an hour, he says, and then you can know what is one round, 6 to 7 minutes. Is that correct? Seven, yeah, something like this. That's a normal. He says actually 28 minutes for four rounds. Who is a mathematician? 28 divided by seven. I believe you. I'm not. I just slept in the school when it was mathematics. Now this much I know. I mean, I would have to concentrate, but I could figure it out. I'm not so beyond the clouds. But yes, so that is for a normal a beginner. But once you become experienced, you go like anything and remain concentrated, like Sharanga, who cooks in 1 hour. Sometimes 9 preparations I've counted. It's not all right. It's not. I hope no one will kidnap Sharanga Thakur now. Thank you for this question. That is as good as I can do in answering that. But it's Tripathi, these great souls are beyond our understanding. We just can hurry us. We can just say like this, but to understand or imitate, forget it. Imitate, not possible. Okay, thank you. Is there any other devotee who wants to ask a question? Govinda, Gopal, no. Govinda. Yeah.
Could you explain to us, we usually call difficult periods in our life, painful periods in our life, purification periods. What we are going to purification, this and that. Can you explain to us how actually this pain struggle purifies our hearts? How does this purification come
to us? I don't have the experience. That was not your question, I know. Yeah, ISKCON has developed its own vocabulary and meaning. There is a verse which is the basis of this understanding that you can learn even in pain. This verse says, Tadenu kampang susumik shamano punyana evatma kritam vipakam retvak papubhya vidadan namaste sajiveta. Sorry, I forgot the last. It says, those who understand that the miseries which they experience are just a token. Token means like a gift of Krishna. They are due to the sinful activities done in previous times. These great souls offer their obeisances with body, mind, and heart, and by this they become rightful heirs to the kingdom of God. So this verse says, if there is misery coming, you know, I have caused it. in the previous time. And by Krishna's mercy, he is using this karmic reaction to what I have done to teach me a lesson. But I will not now give up the Lord. I will engage my body and mind and words in His service. This taking responsibility for your life, or taking responsibility also for the misery which comes in the life, is called a purification, because you mature, you come from immaturity, and you also, when you do this, you usually learn something. When a devotee has this token karmic reaction, you know, this gift by Krishna, then he feels this is because of so and so, and it's a wake up call. Now, if you confront misery with this mood, then it is purifying. It cures you of illusion. It cures you of maya. But if you confront misery with just, you know, like a donkey confronts the lashes of his master, then it's just pain. If you, in other words, do not connect with Krishna, if you do not see how Krishna has reduced the misery but still gives you something to wake you up, and just disconnect from Krishna, then it is pure misery. It does not purify you. It's just a karmic reaction for you. So it's up to you if it's purification, really. When you are in Krishna consciousness, it will be purification. If you are not in Krishna consciousness, it's just a pinprick of material nature. So devotees sometimes speak beyond their level of realization, and that's why they say it's purification, but they really suffer. You know, they are not Krishna. But it's good, they're trying to. Anyone else of you has a question? Or should we go right into the workshop? This workshop won't be so intense, don't worry. Good. This it's an unpublished translation. When I ever get some Lakshmi, I for this I would love to first of course see the publishing rights if I could get them. But it's a very very first class translation of Harinam Chintamani from which I'm reading. It's not yet published. It's like a manuscript. I want to today make a little workshop with you. I hope you sit in partners already, or you can actually, we can do when we say we can move the room a little around. We want to learn now what it actually means to chant Visambandha, or with the feeling of connectedness. That is our purpose here. I want to first start in reading to you what Haridas Thakur says about this. O Lord, he says, you are like the spiritual sun. Your essential being is completely spiritual. This is the wonderful truth. In your every appearance, your form is always completely spiritual. As are your name, your abode, and your pastimes. the holy name comes down from Goloka unto the tongue of the devotee. It then emanates from his soul, permeates his body, and dances on his tongue. So it's like this. One chants, and then the holy name descends or comes down. Comes on the heart, and then it comes on the tongue, and then it goes in the heart. And from there again, it comes up and it dances on the tongue. One Bridge Basi friend of mine, who is a Gaudiya Vaishnava, has explained that the holy name, the descent of the holy name, is like a waterfall. It comes on the tongue, and then from there it splits. One ray of water is going in the heart, dances there, and the other comes shooting out of the mouth. Hare Krishna. So the whole idea is the holy name is not really created by our vocal cords, but you know what is created on the by the vocal cords is the sound. But the holy name of Krishna descends, comes down, you know, and then starts to dance on the tongue. This is what Haridas Thakur has realized. Your name is truly present for one who chants with this knowledge, whereas one who nourishes a material concept of the name experiences misery. Though Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, those who think that the holy name is mundane sound must suffer lengthy punishment in hell. If you catch sight of the face of such an offender, you should bathe fully clothed while concentrating on Lord Vishnu. So if you see someone who thinks that the holy name is a mundane sound, run to the Adriatic Sea, jump inside and think of Vishnu. Say Vishnu, 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 and swim there. I hope no one here is thinking like this, because we would all catch a cold, you know, if we would jump in. But it's so important for the devotee to understand it's Krishna himself. He's not a mundane sound. And he comes and descends and plays of the tongue and in the heart. And then Haridas Thakur says something else which I would like to quote for your pleasure. Krishna's name is the Lord himself, the ocean of spiritual bliss, the object and perfection of spiritual life. That is his glory. This very name has descended to this world to become the means. Means means the bridge, the way, the path. Thus all scriptures say that the means and the end are in this case one. In this case, I always tell the story which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells. The story of the beggar who wanted to see God. He came to see a lord, the king, and asked him, can you show me gold? And the king said, yes, just climb up this staircase and open the first door on the corridor. There's my treasury. That's gold. Well, the beggar did as he was told and climbed up the staircase. And as he climbed up, he looked around and he thought, this is a very nice staircase. And he came finally to the door which he was told of, opened it, and saw everything was made of gold. Goblets, knives, sandals, pure gold. as he was seeing this, he said, wait a minute. Have I not just seen? And then turned around and looked at the staircase and saw, the staircase, this is also gold. It's the same matter. But because as he was climbing, he had no idea that this is gold. He didn't recognize that the staircase was made from gold. Only afterwards did he see this. And so, when we chant the holy name, it's fully Krishna, it's gold, but we will see it after we have some good realization in Krishna consciousness. So, all scriptures say that the means, that is like the staircase, and the end, that is like the treasury, are in this case one. Or the kirtan of the holy name is Krishna himself, who descends. You must be aware of this when you chant. You must, when you chant and take up your beads, meditate that now Krishna will come to me. When you do kirtan, you must be aware, I'm calling out Krishna's name and Krishna will come. If you do not become aware of this, if you do not meditate in Sambandha, I'm the soul and this is Krishna, then you will commit offenses to the holy name and your offenses will multiply rather than decrease your anattas. Chanting is a little... now we enter a difficult area which is not often talked about, but which Haridas Thakur presents to us. If you... you know, the chanting can also be dangerous. If you make offenses or continue to make offenses, it can take your spiritual, it can increase your anatta, and this type of chanting can be harmful to your spiritual life. It's also harmful to not chant Narayati. It's not that we should now, okay, I'm chanting Vedrams, let me stop. I know you're not thinking like this, but I saw Brother Sleepy coming from the door. Close to you, he didn't touch you. Yes, you must do it right. Samyak kirtan or sam kirtan. I would like to you now to face a little bit reality. Please find yourself your partner. If you don't have one as of yet, you can join just any group. And hear what is there to discuss before you start to discuss. How did this text... maybe we should just wait until you sit in your teams. How did this text affect you? Where you heard Krishna descends if you call him with the feeling of Sambandha, that I'm your eternal part. And how Krishna does not descend when you chant without Sambandha and you might just multiply your anattas. How did it... what did you think when you heard this text? Please discuss this with your partner. Oh yeah. Sharanga Thakur, you could just stop the recording. Adya and Tripathi, I was thinking of opening the door really wide. Not closing, opening. Opening very wide, yes. Very good. So, my dear devotees, I want to now guide you in a guided meditation, and we will just do a very simple yoga exercise before we start. This is an exercise which will energize your chakras. Could you please raise up? The first time I saw this, oh yeah, he is already. No, please. I said, please. Also, Ernst. The first time I saw this was in South India. It's a very interesting exercise. I saw it when the people doing Kalayapari, you know, that when the body becomes all eyes, that's the martial art of India. What you do is you will coordinate the left brain and the right brain. It looks a little funny, but it is really good. Just trust me. You take your left hand, these two fingers, and you take your right earlobe, and then you put your right hand. And take your left earlobe, okay, and pull a little bit. It is good for the left and right brain. And now you go a little bit more than hip width apart from each other beim Einatmen runter. And as you go down, you first watch me, you inhale, and when you come up, you exhale. And you should look with a smile. Some of you look so serious. yes, Vikama, you have to smile. That's very important. So then on an inhale, you go down and You go as much down as you can. Now, please, no one falls down. You go almost up to your heels. It's really a little chaturya yoga, but you will do it. When you come down, inhale. Jesus. We have just started. This was the slow part. Yeah. No, no, try to do it. Now, Brizzo. Huh? Okay. One. It can be very good. One. Two. Three. Please sit down. Da schwitzt man. Now, please be very serious. Now we will do pranayama that goes directly after it. You take your right hand in the Shankha mudra. Shankha means conchal. Two fingers like this and the thumb. And you close your left nostril. Inhale through the right. And exhale through, close the right and exhale through the left. Inhale through the left. And exhale through the right. Whew. Inhale through the right. Close the right. Exhale through the left. And do 5 rounds like this. Sit tall, please. Whew. Yes, good breathing. Good strong breathing. This is again kshatriya exercise. It is for getting energy in the body. Sit tall now. And focus on your normal breathing. Close your eyes when you're ready. And just observe your breathing. When you inhale, observe how your breath fills your lungs. And when you exhale, observe how the air which was inside of you comes outside. When you inhale, mentally tell yourself in. This helps you to connect with the awareness of your ingoing breath. Exhale, mentally tell yourself out. This helps you to connect with the outgoing breath. In and out. When your mind wanders, no problem. But bring it back. Bring it back to in. Out. Now focus your attention on the heart space. The area where the soul is, like a little sun, sun of consciousness. So whenever you breathe in, imagine that this golden light becomes a little bit bigger. It expands. Whenever you breathe out, see the golden light become a little bit smaller in dimension. On an inhale, the golden light bulb expands. You are situated in your heart space. our soul. A part of Krishna. Give yourself now the time to meditate about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sambandha meditation. I am an eternal particle of consciousness. Krishna is my unlimited Lord. This material world is meant to help me come into my relationship, my sambandha with Krishna. We will now sing together a prayer from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In this prayer, we pray, lead me from the temporary to the real. Lead me from the darkness to the light. Lead me from death to eternal nectar.
Gamaya, Rinyo Ma. Maya, everybody, Asatoma, Satyamaya, Kamasoma, Jyoti, Gamaya, Mrityoma, Mrita, Gamaya, Iskalani, Asato, I will sing along this now, Asatoma, Satyamaya, Kamasoma, Jyoti, Gamaya, Mrityoma, Mrita, Gamaya, everybody, Asatoma, Satyamaya, Kamasoma, Jyoti, Gamaya, Satoma Satyamaya Samasoma Jyotirgamaya Vrityorma Amritangamaya Satoma Satyamaya Samasoma Jyotirgamaya
Satyamaya, Satyamaya, Thank you.
country of love. I beg for your affection. I am your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection to you. I'm subordinate to you, but somehow I'm now in bad circumstances. There are so many things to do, trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you in your name. And at the same time, I feel from the deepest place within my heart that you are my Lord. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I beg you, I'm not in the best circumstances. I'm suffering. And without your grace, I do not find any relief from my present condition. Krishna, Radha, please accept me.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Say your prayer to Krishna. So many long years I have forgotten you. I was not active in my relationship. Please accept me as your servant. Just use the inner peace for a moment to say your personal prayer to Krishna.
yesterday this came floating on the banks of the Adriatic Sea. I think it came for all of us. The idea is sambandha, on inner connection. Chanting becomes very easy and becomes very, very easily possible to access very deep levels of Krishna consciousness if you chant in this connection. I request you to return for a few moments to your partner and share what you felt in this last exercise, starting with the Kshatriya Yoga, but most important, praying to Krishna for your Satchit Ananda identity. Lead me from Asat to Sat. Lead me from the temporary to the eternal. And it was praying for your Chit identity, your identity full of knowledge. Lead me from ignorance to the light. And then Ananda, lead me from this world of death to the world of nectar. Asatoma sadgamaya tamasoma jyotirgamaya mrityoma amritam gamaya asatoma sadgamaya tamasoma jyotirgamaya mrityoma amritam gamaya. Yes, and then we chanted after this prayer in a prayerful mood the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What went on for you? Please discuss with your partner. Thank you.